Praise the Lord. Greetings. Overcomers.ca, Chapter 35, The Mystery of the Indwelling Christ, Crucified with Him. Scriptures. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:10-14. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3:1-17. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Romans 8:12-13. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. James 4, verses 4 to 6. Colossians 2, 18 to 23 in the Amplified Bible says, "Let no one defraud you by acting as an umpire and declaring you unworthy and disqualifying you for the prize, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he claims he has seen, vainly puffed up by his sensuous notions and inflated by his unspiritual thoughts and fleshly conceit, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, supplied and knit together by means of its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If then ye have died with Christ to material ways of looking at things, and have escaped from the world's crude and elemental notions and teachings of externalism, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to rules and regulations such as, do not handle this, do not taste that, do not even touch them, referring to things all of which perish with being used? To do this is to follow human precepts and doctrines, Isaiah 29:13. Such practices have indeed the outward appearance that popularity passes for wisdom in promoting self-imposed rigor of devotion and delight in self-humiliation and severity of discipline of the body. But they are of no value in checking the indulgence of the flesh, the lower nature. Instead, they do not honor God, but serve only to indulge the flesh. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2:10 to 13. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 6, verses 5 to 11. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27, and Scriptures. Three visions. First vision. "I beheld men upon the earth, laboring for and working in the world, one with the world, setting themselves up for their life in the world, and in personal well-being. As man set himself up in the world, there were many nations which were very rich, but also many nations which were very poor. Both of these still lived in the world and were one with the world. Then saw I the Lord above the earth, and with very quick motion of spirit, he removed very suddenly the entire world from men. Not the physical earth that man stands upon, but the world man has created to exist in by the power of the carnal mind. This world was removed in a single stroke by the Spirit of the Lord alone, and by a working of his Spirit that had done this at a set time, which was foreordained since the foundation of the world. Man lost all he had built through his carnal means, and all that he had held dear was now gone from him, as the Lord removed it all. End vision. Second vision. Then I beheld the life of an overcomer, no one person specifically, but a picture of the overcomer in their life in the world of men. I saw within the very spirit of the overcomer the Lord Jesus Christ standing in the full splendor of his raised person, one with the spirit of the overcomer. The Lord was casting up huge mountains in the soul of the overcomer, casting them up as one would throw a rock upwards and away from the earth. The mountains would cast up, but then fall flat to the ground. At the same time, the Lord, with his other hand, would reach down deep into the soul of the overcomer and pull up vast and very low valleys, bringing them up and causing them to be made flat with the mountains, so that the mountains which were once high and the valleys which were once low all became a level plain. Then the Lord walked forth in the spirit of the overcomer upon this level ground, and the nations around about the life of they that overcome saw the Lord in them, and entire nations came to the Lord to be saved. The overcomer, once the mountains were laid flat and the valleys lifted up, had no restriction from the Lord moving in them and from the Lord being seen in them. End vision. Third vision. The Lord Jesus Christ abiding in the inner part of the new nature within the life of they that overcome was standing in each one, yet saw I one as an example of what the Lord is doing at this present time in the life of they who were seeking the Lord to overcome. I saw that the Lord covered over the heart of the overcomer, and his fingers firmly grasped the heart and held fast the heart completely in his nail-scarred hand. As he held the heart of the overcomer, he would from time to time squeeze this heart, bringing much pressure upon it. Two things would happen. First, the overcomer would come into a greater awareness and understanding of being dead to their sinful nature, that their new nature died to the old nature in them. The old nature in them was still animated and alive, but they and their new nature, which is sinless, would die to the old nature. The old nature did not die. The new nature died to it. That was the first thing the pressure on the heart by the hand of Jesus would do. The second thing was, as the Lord squeezed their hearts, that the minions of hell would attack the overcomer, causing their remaining flesh and carnality to rise up and to attack their peace in the Lord. They held a great array of warfare against the overcomer when they were able, when the Lord squeezed their hearts in this manner, so as to restrict their hearts and to place increased pressure upon the spiritual walk. The minions of hell would bolster up the carnality in the overcomer to attack the new nature and to convince the new nature that it was defiled. This became a great war. End vision. End three visions. Continuing on in the mystery of the indwelling Christ, there is much confusion in our day over the old nature and the new nature, the working of the cross, and of things which lead to great deception. A massive falling away is taking place, where the cross is removed from the life of the person who loves the Lord, and this alone is one characteristic of deception. One of the characteristics of deception, that the cross is removed. In this study on the indwelling Christ, I will reveal to the best of my understanding where the cross is working and where it is not working. For the overcomer will remain under the power of the cross for their whole life through, for that is the only means to having abiding peace in the Lord and to conquering all that would take away that peace. Crucifixion is a process. It is not the completion of death or destruction, but rather is a means to this end, the vehicle by which this happens. Crucifixion is the power of impaling your flesh to the cross to render it inoperative and powerless by restricting it so that it becomes ineffective by the all-consuming power of the cross. It is not that the old flesh nature you have learned to loathe is no longer in you, for it is. It is that you restrict it by the cross and you become dead to it, sort of like being impaled upon a cross in the midst of the world so that the world becomes dead to you. In the same way, your flesh nature, as the world, is what you die to. This death comes by the power of the cross through your daily circumstance and tribulation, working in you this death process daily. There is no person at any time who can claim they no longer have a sinful nature in them, for the process of dying to that nature is a lifelong process until death truly takes you in whatever form and removes your life from this world of men. The Apostle Paul said, "I die daily," 1 Corinthians 15:31, meaning that he at no time stated that he no longer had an old nature, but rather that he continued daily to die to it. The I that died in Paul was the same I that is part of Jesus, even the new creation. It is that fallen old nature that Jesus will not save. For there is only one that Jesus won't ever save, fix, heal, or make right, and that is your old, carnal, sinful, Adamic, fallen nature, which opposes and exalts itself continually against all that is the Lord in you. It was Paul, dying to his old nature, that he spoke of here. Just as Paul stated the I in Galatians 2:20 as being the part of him that was alive, so that part of him that was alive is separated from that part of him which is perishing, all by the power of the cross. When an overcomer becomes aware that the indwelling Christ is in them of a truth, one with their spirit as a new nature, they then yield to this Lord, and thus the process of crucifixion begins in earnest in them. This process is lifelong. It does not happen immediately, just as one crucified does not instantly die. Just as the natural process of crucifixion can drag out for days and days, so the crucifixion of the flesh drags out for the years of your life. But when it becomes to one who loves the Lord a delight, a great feast of joy, because they daily put off this which was contrary to Jesus who dwells in them. When I say put off, I mean that it becomes inoperative in you. It does not operate alongside your spirit for your new joy in the Lord because it is restrained by this crucifixion process. It becomes the daily process of putting to death this which is flesh in you by subjecting it to that which is life in you, even the risen new creation which is one with the Lord in you. So then you see that this cross in you makes you dead to the old nature, but at the same time the cross makes that old nature progressively and literally die daily in you also. The cross works to expand itself across all these so that one is fully marked and impaled by it, but free and raised with the Lord at the very same time. When the Apostle Paul wrote that he lived, yet not I, but Christ in him, and the life he lived by the faith of the Son of God who was alive in him, Galatians 2:20, he did not mean that he no longer had a sinful carnal nature. He was not saying that his carnal nature was dead, or that it was only a memory, or that it could pop in and out of a grave whenever it wanted to. Paul knew that it was very much animated in him, and that if it were given place, it would work spiritual death in him. I say unto you that many who have fallen into delusion and are following false teachers, apostles, and prophets, are walking in spiritual death. They have contaminated and defiled the spiritual man in them. Oh, you think that the spirit nature cannot be defiled? Think again. We are also told to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, 2 Corinthians 7:1. What we have in this day is masses of Christendom fallen away into this defilement of yielding instead to this which is carnal in them. Rather than the power of the new nature progressively destroying the flesh nature in them, they are overcome by it, and they mask it over and call it religious freedom. To overcome one must yield to Christ in them, who will in time destroy bit by bit that flesh nature which you are born with. When Jesus declared from the cross, "It is finished," some in our day took that completely out of context. What man says is finished is not what Jesus said is finished. Man says it has all been done for us, everything necessary is complete, and nothing more need be added as it is a done deal. What Jesus said was finished was the condition for and the interim measure needed for redemption to now become a reality. Now that Christ finished the work for mankind, he continues to work that in mankind, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Or Philippians 2:12 and 13, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The mystery of iniquity continues to work in the high places of the flesh and in the carnality of man. The man of sin, the son of perdition, the first Adam, is not dead. He is spiritually dead because he has no holy life in him, but carnal power still operates in him, which is evident very much in the world of Christendom. This which is unholy they call holy, and that which is holy found in the lives of they who are separated away from them as overcomers is called deceived and unholy. A complete opposite of truth. This is that perdition that opposes and exalts itself against all that is called God. You can deny that perdition all you want, but he will not be taken out of the way until the brightness of the Lord's coming in you destroys him. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-8. Quoting from Light of His Glory Ministries, quote, "This sly, sinful son of perdition presently sits in the temple, ye are the temple, of God deceitfully, showing himself to men's minds that he is God. One of the many deceitful ways he does this is in proclaiming there is no longer a man of sin, that there is no need to die to self daily, no need to deny yourself daily, nor mortify the deeds of the flesh, because there is no old self and there is no flesh man. It was all taken care of on the cross at Calvary. Can't you see that it's all finished? I died and only Christ lives," proclaims this impostor. "My work is finished." And so this false God proudly says there is only a divine nature, for in essence, the former nature, the Adamic consciousness, is merely a memory, a phantom, a mistaken identity that need not ever be related to, much less dealt with. That's the only thing that keeps us in fear and death, this believing that we still have the nature of the first man, Adam. Receive this and believe that that Adam is dead. As a result, the law of sin and death can no longer have power over you. Please forgive me if I can't find a hot airbrush to brush off this old man nature. And excuse me also while I'm scratching away that strange itch and tickle in my ears. End quote. That's the end quote from Light of His Glory Ministries. There are only two natures in your earthen vessel. One is holy and pure, the other unholy and impure. The unholy nature is daily, progressively, day by day, being taken away from you. And that which is holy is the only nature which shall be left. While you live in mortal clay, you will always have to lay the cross out before your eyesight, before your life, dying daily to this which is perdition in you, until he appears. And when he appears, he will destroy this perdition by the brightness of his coming. This is a surety and a fact, but in our day there are but a few who know this. For Jesus, the cross is done. The work is finished. But for Jesus also, the work is one he continues to do in us. This cross must remain and work in us until either he comes or we finish our course in faith. Look carefully at those in Christendom around you who walk in varied elements and degrees of deception. Notice one thing, that it is the theme of them all. The cross is the first thing removed from them. No cross, no dying to the old nature, no guarantee of remaining steadfast in truth. It is that simple. When the cross is removed, you remove any semblance of being able to walk in the Spirit. You instead walk in that which imitates the true and which concludes you as one with no sin and no iniquitous nature in you. A false front is what is seen when underneath is the lie of all lies, that iniquity is not present in you. But when a person yields to Jesus in truth and gives him place and applies to their lives the daily cross, then there is no deception. The Spirit of truth has free flow in you, and the Lord is free also to move in your life as his perfect will dictates. If it be long, or if it be soon, the coming of the Lord will find the faithful overcomers still bearing the cross daily, dying out to this which is contrary to the life of Jesus in them. That cross will work until the day of his appearing, or until the Lord declares to you as an individual that you have finished your course and have kept the faith. If you allow the working of the cross in you now, it will do so until it is done. Then you, along with Jesus, can know that for you it is indeed finished. This is the outcome and promise given to those who would overcome all things. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.